on the phone right now, the host of the Matchup Show and, of course, the author of Philly Special. That is the great Sal Palantonio. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you on this fine, beautiful fall day? Ready for some football tomorrow night? I am.
Yes. I was just talking about how great it would be to sit in the seats tomorrow night and freeze yourself to death at 37 degrees for that game. And Sal, I don't think it's going to be a competitive one. Let me start right off with that. In 2016, Dak Prescott, the talk of the league, he forces Tony Romo into retirement. He's the guy with the star. And what happened in the last 2 years? What has happened, in your opinion, to Dak Prescott's game in the last 2 years?
I think it's pretty simple, and I'll take it in three parts. One, the suspension of Ezekiel Elliott. Two, the loss of Jason Witten to retirement and Dez Bryant, you know, basically getting old and not the kind of player that he was with Tony Romo. Three, the offensive line just hasn't played as well. You know, Ron Jaworski taught me very early on the Matchup Show when I first came on the show, and he invited me to be the host, and God bless him for doing it. He said, you know, the quarterback position is a complementary position like none other in sports. And Dak Prescott is an NFL quarterback, and he has shown that he can play at a high level in this league. But in order to do that, you have to have the right parts around you. And he simply hasn't had the right parts around him. Now, you could also make the case that their offense is highly simplified. And when you do watch them on film, and we do dissect them in the matchups tomorrow morning with Greg Cosell and Matt Bowen, we do dissect their offense, and we look at specifically what kind of an addition Amari Cooper is going to be and has been just after one game. It's limited. It's a limited offense. And I do think it'll be difficult for it to be competitive with the Eagles. I really do. But the Eagles, you know, Pat and Gerald, you know, this is kind of sacrilegious for me to say this the day before this game, after the bye and on Dallas week and all that. Eagles are a 4-4 team that let the Panthers off the hook, let the Titans off the hook. They're 25th in the league, minus 5 in the turnover ratio. They've been a sloppy team, and they've been a team that's given up the lead in the fourth quarter to two bad teams. I mean, you know, all right, one bad team. Mm-hmm. So I just think that, you know, this game is not about the Cowboys. And I'm guaranteeing you that's going to be the speech that Doug Peterson delivers to this team tonight in the team hotel. He's going to say, this is not about Dallas. It's not about Dak Prescott. It's not about where they are. It's about who we are after eight games with eight games in front of them. You know, they hold serve. They got the game on their racket now. They got the division on their racket. All they got to do is take care of their own business. And I haven't seen a lot of that in the first eight games.
Sal, one of the things that we've been talking about all morning is kind of the health or the state of the rivalry between Dallas and Philadelphia. You're always mixing it up with the fans. You're in the locker rooms. How would you assess where the rivalry is at this point versus where it's been in the past?
Well, you know, the script has flipped, right, Joe?
Yeah.
The script has flipped. And the Eagles have been dominant in the division for a long time. You know, on and off since Tony Romo became the quarterback. But the bottom line is this: there have been no back-to-back, no repeat division winners in the NFC East for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And so if the Eagles are going to win it back-to-back, they got to take care of business. It's not about rivalry. I keep stressing this. It's about taking care of the matchups tomorrow night that favor the Cowboys, and there are a few. There definitely are a few, and you have to take care of them. Let's start with DeMarcus Lawrence versus Lane Johnson, or anybody else who's going to block DeMarcus Lawrence as they move him around the line of scrimmage. That's an advantage that the Cowboys have in this football game. So, A, they have to protect Carson Wentz. Because the Cowboys are playing with house money now, right? They're coming in here. They got three wins, right? And they could easily lose this game and then lose at Atlanta, be 3-7 and be DIW, dead in the water. So they're playing with house money and they're going for broke. And the one thing they want to do is basically ruin the evening for Eagles fans. And it starts with DeMarcus Lawrence, their best pass rusher, and one of the best pass rushers in the NFC East, maybe the NFL.
Well, I think, Sal, you talk about house money. The Cowboys, though, coming off that Monday night game, that was a shocking loss, I think, for the entire organization. Now they come here in a short week and on the road in one of the worst places you'd ever want to come to off those circumstances. So
just as shocking, though, Pat, as the Eagles letting the Titans off the road.
That's true. That's true.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you know,
you're right.
I come back to this all the time. The Eagles are 4-4. They're not 6-2. They're not 7-1.
Right.
They're 4-4 because they have made mistakes in critical areas in games they should have won.
Right.
I mean, 1st and 10, 75-yarder to DeSean Jackson in Tampa. Come on. Tampa's a yard sale. That right. team's a terrible team. They should have never lost in Tampa.
Right.
They should have never let the Titans off the hook. They should have never lost to the Panthers. Never.
Right. But the Eagles, it's funny because you're right. I understand. And the point you're making is salient because I thought, even myself, a couple of weeks ago that the Eagles had righted the ship after that Giants game. We all got lulled to sleep by that Giants game. Then they go and blow that lead to Carolina, and it's stunning. Then they
I'm telling you, this is what Doug Peterson is going to say to the team tonight. Forget rivalry.
Right.
Forget the Cowboys. Forget all this talk about Dak Prescott and whether or not, you know, Jason Garrett is going to lose his job. This is about us. We got to take care of matchups. And, oh, by the way, gentlemen, take care of the football. You know, Carson Wentz talked about it. When does Carson Wentz ever talk about stuff like this? He basically acknowledged, I got fumbles in every single game back. That's no good.
Right.
That's not a franchise quarterback the way he, you know, obviously the numbers are there for sure. But on third down and in the red zone and taking care of the football, he's been way behind where he should be.
Sal, one of the other things that's kind of taken center stage this week is injuries. You know, Lane Johnson looking like he's going to give it a go on Sunday, hearing that Darren Sproles had a setback, even though Doug Peterson said that coming into this week he was 100% healthy, Jalen Mills, everything else. What kind of impact do you see injuries potentially playing for the Eagles?
Well, I think it's in the secondary is the big issue. I think Lane Johnson, you know, and Jason Peters, the two tackles, they will struggle. That Cowboys defensive line is very active, very athletic. So they're going to struggle a little bit. I think in the secondary in this game, you know, the Cowboys don't really have a major threat other than Amari Cooper. He's just beginning to get installed and incorporated into the offense. So I'm looking at Ronald Darby versus Amari Cooper as a matchup, and that's significant. You know, the most important thing that you have to look at with this Eagles defense is the way the secondary has performed in the fourth quarter in two specific games. Going back to the Panthers game and the Titans game, and three, really, the Bucs game, the three losses, the three major hiccups that they've had in the secondary. And now they are, because of injuries, playing a tough, ferocious gamer, rookie, Maddox, at single high safety. And Maddox has proven that he can make plays, but he's undersized and he's inexperienced. He's a corner out of Pitt who's playing single high safety in the NFL. And so that's a tough spot for him to be in and a lot of pressure to put on that young man. And so far he has answered the bell, but it's not the optimum situation, especially when, you know, Sidney Jones is injured, especially when Jalen Mills is injured. Both of these players are important to what Jim Schwartz has done. You know, Paul Domowicz had a great number in his column yesterday in the Philly Daily News. I don't know if you guys saw it, Joe and Pat. But he laid out all the blitzes that Jim Schwartz has called so far this year. And this is important for people to really understand. The Eagles don't blitz very much, and they haven't been very good at blitzing. They only blitz 18% of the time, less than a fifth. They've only called 62 blitzes. These are the numbers out of Domowicz's column, and I verified it through ESPN stats and information. 62 blitzes have been called. 62. Just 7 sacks have resulted on those 62 blitzes.
Wow.
That's 9%. And in those 62 blitzes, 4 touchdown passes have been thrown. So nearly as many touchdown passes, or about more than half, as the number of sacks when the Eagles have blitzed. So that's why they don't blitz very often, because they're not very good at it. So they need to put more pressure on the quarterback, and it's been hard. Oh. It's been difficult.
Prescott has dropped back to pass 265 times so far this season. So he's been sacked 28 times. That's one every 10 passes. I mean, Prescott has been sacked more than all but 2 other quarterbacks in the league so far this year, which is really surprising considering they're not really a passing team. So, I mean, there's a recipe there for the Eagles front four to get some of mojo back here.
Totally agree. Yeah. Totally agree. But, you know, it's one thing to say it and cite the stats.
That's true.
Other thing to actually do it. So, listen, you're absolutely right, Pat. I mean, you use the word non-competitive. And I hear that everywhere I go this weekend. Oh, the Cowboys were not much. This game is not about the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. This game is about the Saints,
right.
The Rams. It's about sweeping the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. It's about sweeping the Redskins. But you have 3 really important games on the schedule of the next 8. At New Orleans, at Los Angeles, and then the Texans, who will be in a dogfight for the division title in their division when they come in here in December. And you're going to have to win 2 out of those 3, 2 out of 3 of those games in order to win the division, the NFC East, I believe, even if you sweep the Redskins and the Cowboys.
Right. Right, and Washington took a step back, Sal, last week. I mean,
sure.
You know, and I just the what I learned from that game last week, Joe and Sal, was if you get ahead of Washington, you win. I mean, I know that sounds very simplistic. I just don't believe in that quarterback at all. I don't believe in him at all.
But you're absolutely right. But you still, Pat, if you let's say you're going to sweep the Cowboys,
right?
Very likely, high probability. Let's say you're going to sweep the Redskins, not as high probability. You know, you've always played 3-point games against them, and they're always tough. And it's tough to go down there. I think they play them the last game of the season down there, don't they? I'm pretty sure they do.
Yeah, they do. They're at Washington. They close out the season, right?
Yeah, close out the season. Okay, so let's just say you win those 4 and you win the remaining game against the Giants. Now you got yourself, what, 9 wins?
Yep.
That's not a lock to win the division.
No.
It's not a lock.
No. No,
it's not.
You're going to need another one. You're going to need to get. You're going to need to go into New Orleans or Los Angeles or home against Houston and win one of those games. You are right about that. So
that's what this. I'm sure that Doug Peterson is preaching that. Listen, we're going to take this one step at a time. We're going to get healthier, and we're going to get better at the things that we haven't done well. Number one, without a doubt, is turnovers. You can't be -5, 25th in the league in a turnover margin, and win the division or go anywhere in the playoffs. Can't do it. Can't happen. That's got to get better. 2, you got to protect Carson. That starts this week against DeMarcus Lawrence. And number 3, you got to protect the back end. And I don't understand one thing about what Jim Schwartz has done with the secondary. And that is, I don't understand why he has kept playing single high safety instead of dropping both safeties back, knowing he's been giving up so many big plays, allow Malcolm Jenkins to play out of the box and much deeper so that he can protect and help his injured and undermanned secondary. I just don't get that. I really don't.
All right. And Sal, I want to ask you just one other pivot I want to do here before we get to the top 5. All right. And I just want a quick comment from you on this because I had it on the agenda and I got to do it. And that is that I think the defenses are becoming shockingly irrelevant here. And I'm going to cite this to you. And what I want you to do is I want you to tell me whether this might change at all, whether you see this changing at all as maybe the weather changes or just do defenses catch up. But the 8 teams in the league that have over 6 or more wins, only 2 of them are in the top 10 in points allowed per game. And as a further example, the Saints and Chiefs are combined 15-2, are allowing 27, the Chiefs 27 points a game, The Saints 25 points a game. So what I just want you to comment on is, do you see any type of quantum shift over the last half of the season where defenses are going to catch up, or is it simply going to be which offense steamrolls the best?
Well, we saw it in Super Bowl 52. We saw a foreshadowing of it in Super Bowl 52.
Right.
There was one punt in the game, right? Or
right.
No, how many punts were in the game?
I don't know, but you're right. 41-33, you're right.
Yeah, they rolled on each other. We saw that. That's the new norm. That's the new NFL. Welcome to it.
Yeah.
You know, I agree with you, Pat. I think the word irrelevant is not out of place.
Yeah.
You know, how many years we've been doing this show together, and I always go into the show saying, what's the most important statistic? It's like team ERA in baseball has always been the most important statistic in determining where a team finishes in Major League Baseball. Team defense, points allowed. There have been many, many, many cases in NFL history where the team that is number one or number two in points allowed has won the Super Bowl, but very few cases where the team is number one in points scored has won the Super Bowl.
Right.
We've seen it over and over again. This may be the new norm where this year the Chiefs, the Rams, the Saints, the Patriots, who are the top four teams in the league right now, are all just outscoring everybody. Last week, New Orleans, that was a perfectly good example.
I know. You're exactly right.
You and I agree on that.
Yeah.
And to go back to your actual question, I don't know, Pat. I really don't. Do you? If me, you, and Joe sat here right now and said, okay, give me the one team whose defense is going to prevail in the end over the other offenses, say in the championship game or in the playoffs somewhere. We even saw it last year, right? Jacksonville goes in there with a bone-crushing defense. I think they led the league in points allowed when it went into New England, right? And Brady throws a couple of deep bombs, and they get a couple of penalties called, ticky-tack calls on their secondary. They get, all of a sudden, it's first and goal on the 9. And bang, there you go, Brady cashes in. So if you were to ask me what's the one team, however, that I think where the defense could prevail of those top four, it would have to be New England.
Yeah.
It would have to be New England.
I don't see anything else. You're right. I think the Ram D is way, way overrated. And I think you're right. It could be New England. So it doesn't always come down to New England.
Every time.
You could look through the NFC. What defense could prevail?
I know. Maybe Minnesota's. If they right the ship, if they get the ship right, Minnesota's would have the best defense if, in fact, they can get back into the equation. But
I never bet on the Viking ship. Never. Nah. I never do.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one. I got a team for you.
You're going to say Houston?
Eagles.
There you go. Good guess. Good job. All right, listen, I got to get Sal Powell, the author of Philly Special, the inside story of how the Philadelphia Eagles won their Super Bowl. And Sal, I trust things are going well on Amazon and with the book sales and Christmas coming up, and things are going well, right?
We are doing great. We are number one in Philadelphia and number one in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. During Dallas
That's
week.
Great.
It's good to know.
That's good
Check
to know.
Check it out on
right.
Amazon. I was astonished when the publisher sent me those notes.
Good for you, pal. Then we got an honor of Sam Bradford. I'm going to do a quick top five, though. All right. Sammy B just got released by the Arizona Cardinals after getting paid, I think it was $15 million he got paid this season to start three games, and which he, of course, won none of them. It's brought to you by our buddy Pat McConney from Manny Mac Home Mortgage, a licensed home originator in PA and New Jersey. So if you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing your mortgage, give Pat a call so we can hold your hand throughout the whole process. You can reach him at 267-474-6379. That's 267-474-6379. Manny Mac Home Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 338923, the top five most overpaid players in modern NFL history.
Wow.
All right, here we go. I'm going first.
Okay, let it rip.
Too bad. I got Bradford number one, $127 million all time. Number two, I'm going to throw Joey Flacco in there. You know, he's making $24 million a year. $24 million. So, I mean, boy, you talk about a guy who caught lightning in a battle for 1 month, in a bottle for 1 month, and parlayed it into Jeff Bezos money. There's your guy. All right. How about Tavon Austin? In 2017, he out-earned Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, and A.J. Green. All right. Thanks to Jeff Fisher. Brock Osweiler comes in at fourth, and I'm going to throw in Dominican Sue in there at fifth. He has never earned the money that he's been paid as a defensive tackle in this league.
Wow.
All right.
Good names. There Sal, you want to go or you want me to go next?
You go.
Okay. So I'll just go with uniques, ones that you didn't have. Right. Jamarcus Russell. It's impossible to say that he was adequately paid for what he gave. Jay Cutler. Outrageous amounts of money from three different teams. And is it too early to question if Derek Carr perhaps is overpaid based on what's going
to
happen? I'll
give you 25 million reasons why it's not too early to say that. So that's not bad at all. Not bad at all. Sal, do you want to throw any other names into that mix?
Yeah, I'm going to throw three other names, although it's really hard to argue with Jamarcus Russell, Joe. I totally agree. And Sam Bradford, Pat, has to be on the list. So Russell from Joe's list, Bradford from your list. I'm going to add Albert Haynesworth.
Yeah, I thought of that. That's a good one. Yep.
I'm going to add the Andrews brothers.
Sean and Stacy,
who I believe were paid a combined $33 million guaranteed by your Philadelphia Eagles alone.
Wow. Ouch. How about that? How about that coming up with those names?
I think those two guys may take the cake. bringing up the rear, Kevin Cobb. I'm gonna throw him
How
in there.
How about that? Kevin Cobb. Boy, that's well done, Sal. Well done going into the archives there and coming up with those names. So
the Andrews brothers, they had a gun and a mask. They certainly did.
Well, listen, I'm glad the book's doing well. We look forward to that. And it's a great gift, a Christmas gift, the Philly special, the inside story of how the Philadelphia Eagles won their Super Bowl. And Sal, stay warm. Where are you? Are you local?
I'm at Lincoln Fire. Right, yeah, Pat, it's going to be old. It's going to be 35, Pat.
Get the socks
on,
Sal.
I've done games in minus.
All right. Well, enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself,
right,
okay?
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great night. It's salute to service at Lincoln Financial Field. So we're going to honor the veterans from all over the Delaware Valley. It's going to be a fantastic evening, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I want to see how this Eagles team is different with Golden Tate. We haven't even said the words Golden Tate on this segment at all this morning. I want to see how they are different offensively and different defensively. I want to see what wrinkles Doug Peterson and Jim Schwartz have come up with for the stretch run the second half of the season. I'm really looking forward to it.